Wouldn't be New Year's Eve without hearing Steve and Johnny. So excited to hear them as they ring in the new year. And I was pulling up an interactive map. I'm trying to see, Bob, of who's celebrating when, right?
Right.
And I just can't find like a very simple way to do that on the internet. I'm sure there is. And I'm sure I could just do some simple math and arithmetic to figure out where we are.
Where is it already New Year's? Well, yeah. It's Europe much of Europe 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah, so they're
ahead,
not there
so
yet.
They're not there yet. But parts of Asia, yeah, Australia, those places.
Yeah. And there's some
tomorrow already in Japan.
Riddle me this. Maybe you don't know the answer to this. There's some that are on like the half hours I'm seeing.
Yeah. And I don't know why that is.
And Nepal Standard Time, they're going to celebrate it at 5 hours and 45 minutes ahead of when we're...
Yeah, I don't know why. There are some little micro zones or something. Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Like I get why the hours. That makes sense, of course. But why are you splitting your time zone with a half hour? Now, that's just confusing. That's not just a reset of the watch. That's really messing things up. Anyways, I'll try and figure that out a little bit better during the commercial break. I wanted to let people know each hour where we're going. I'm sure Steve and Johnny will pick up the ball with that starting at 3 o'clock. But this is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And joining us now, Michael Raff, Director of Tax at Gordon Law Group. And Michael, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
Yeah, John, thank you for having me on this New Year's Eve edition.
Yeah, right. Is it a busy time of the year for you as people start to wonder what they can do, or is it a little bit calmer in your world right now?
Oh, absolutely. No, we're seeing people very eager to pick up the ball and get rolling with this 2022 tax season that's coming up. Seeing a lot of interest in tax planning, tax filing, so really never slowed down this year. You know, we've had these sort of the extended tax season almost from July of 2020 all the way through. It's remained pretty busy.
Let's talk about a few things that people can still do in 2021. And the reason I'm starting with that is, oh boy, we're running out of time, quite literally.
You got your 11 hours left here in Chicago.
Yeah, but there are still some last-minute things you can do to lower your taxable income just a little bit. Let's start with individuals, if you don't mind, because I know it's business for cash-basis business. But let's talk about charitable contributions, because there is some confusion about this. Once they raised the standard deduction for everyone a few years ago under President Trump's tax plan, I think a lot of people thought, well, then there goes any reason to maybe make a charitable donation because, oh, I'm just going to be taking the standard deduction anyways. Of course, we should be giving to charity from the goodness of our heart anyways, but there is still a little bit that you can do to shave off a bit on your taxable income, even with the itemized deductions going away, right?
Absolutely. For last year and for this year, for 2021, there's this sort of special taxable deduction that came in, even if you're using a standard deduction, that you could still get some credit for donating to qualified 501c3s, even if you are using the standard deduction. So I think it's $300 for single filers and up to $600 this year for married filing joint taxpayers. If you make a charitable contribution to a 501c3 and are itemizing your deduction, you're a standard deduction filer, you can still get this extra deduction for the charitable contribution in addition to your standard deduction.
So
it's a really nice benefit to be altruistic and to still get the credit on your taxes as well, which you have to have the deduction on your taxes as well.
Absolutely. Now, I know a lot of people have been giving to GoFundMe campaigns. Do those qualify, or are those not that 501c3 designation?
Correct. Yeah, a GoFundMe, it's a wonderful thing to do, but for tax purposes, you're looking for that contribution to public charity, to 501c3 or to other designation. But right, a GoFundMe contribution is not going to qualify for this deduction.
And I assume if you make the donation and you get some form of digital receipt or screen grab the donation, I don't know exactly how you do it, as long as it is, you know, done before midnight tonight, that's 2021.
Absolutely. You can make the deduction online. You can put it on your credit card, for example. Not have to make the actual credit card payment until 2022, but you make the deduction or make the contribution before midnight tonight, that would go towards your 2021 tax return. Absolutely.
That's great. All right. So if you're a single person, $300, married, $600, maybe if you got that one last organization you want to help out, give a donation and let us know, 312-981-7200, who you donated to. And maybe we'll give some nonprofits a little extra love today and inspire folks on this last few hours to make a charitable donation. Okay. Let's talk about IRA contributions and backdoor Roth IRA conversions, which I don't even quite know what that is. I just saw it in your notes and read credit word for word, making me look really smart. But IRA contributions, I know that you there's a cap on how much you can give to an IRA each year, and some people can get a tax deduction on that, but not everyone's eligible for it, right?
Right, exactly. I'll refrain from giving specifics because it's dependent on everyone's facts and circumstances. But in terms of IRA contributions or Roth IRA contributions, those can be made actually up through the tax filing deadline for an individual. So up through April 15th, you can make those contributions, and that will lower for a regular, for a traditional IRA, that counts as a pre-tax contribution if you qualify, and that can actually lower your taxable income. A backdoor Roth IRA conversion is a fancy term, and people, that was actually a big buzz this year because there was some talk of getting rid of backdoor Roth IRA conversions. But it's a backdoor Roth IRA conversion is a tool to contribute post-tax dollars to an IRA and then immediately convert that to a Roth IRA so that when you take out the funds down the road, it can still be treated as a Roth non-taxable deduction. But the purpose why it's called a backdoor is because it's individuals that aren't necessarily within the income limitations to do a traditional Roth, a traditional IRA contribution where it would be tax deductible. You do it with post-tax money, immediately convert it to Roth, and then you don't have the tax consequences 20, 30 years down the road when you take it out and you have a Roth tax-free distribution, excuse me.
I have a dumb question. Why wouldn't you just put it into a Roth straight from your cash?
Because there's income limitations associated with Roth. So there's a large swath of taxpayers that are not able to make Roth IRA contributions.
I think you said that. I just didn't understand that. Okay. So yes, if you have that, if you're above that limitation, you put it into a IRA and then you slide it immediately into a Roth. Okay. When is the deadline
right.
for
that? And that shouldn't be done without thought. There are definitely tax concerns if you have IRA balances open. So definitely consult with an advisor. But there was a lot of buzz around backdoor Roth IRA conversions ending this year. Are ending for next year if the Build Back Better had passed. Obviously, that's something that has not passed this year, so it's something that is still available, but people have been asking a lot of questions about it.
So the IRA contributions, by the way, you said you can do till the filing deadline, and I imagine if you're sitting there right now, you haven't done it yet, maybe take a moment and realize that you do not have to do it today and really lay out a plan that works for you. Take that extra couple of months or, extra week, whatever it takes. Just don't rush to do something like that today because you think you can, right?
Absolutely. And you also need to be careful if you make IRA contributions when you're over a certain threshold or not eligible to, you could be penalized. So because you have up until the filing deadline to make an IRA contribution, that's something that you can consult with your tax advisor while you're preparing your taxes this upcoming season. Determine if you're going to make an IRA contribution, and it can lower your taxable income.
All right, good. Yeah, so deep breaths, everyone, on those things. Charitable contributions, get them in by the end of the day. IRA stuff, talk to someone who knows what they're talking about. What about tax loss harvesting, like with cryptocurrency? If you've lost money in the stock market, stuff like that, is there things you can be doing today to help yourself lower that taxable income?
Yeah, tax loss harvesting. So interesting concepts. We can talk about regular stock for a moment and then talk about cryptocurrency, which I really like. You guys have the Bitcoin of America sponsorship now for the cryptocurrency update. I think that's
fascinating. We like that too. any sponsorship is great.
So traditional. Absolutely. Traditional tax loss harvesting with stock, you have capital gains, right? So you've made large capital gains. You had some great investments. You cashed out and you're facing the capital gains you're going to have this year, and you're saying, I'm going to have to pay taxes on that. Well, you could look to some losing positions that you have in the stock market and say, well, I don't really want to hold this anyway. I might want to cash out of it. And if by doing it before midnight, you can actually net your tax losses against your winning stock positions, and maybe you get down closer to $0 of total capital gain or maybe even go negative. It's a way to say, okay, I'm going to cut loose this losing position to not have to pay taxes on my winning position or as much taxes. That's traditional tax loss harvesting. That's everything you talked about. One reason people with stocks, one thing you have to be concerned about when you're doing tax loss harvesting is to say, I have a losing position in this stock, but I really still want to hold it. So I'm going to sell the stock at a loss and I'll just buy it back tomorrow. And look, I'll be in the same economic position. Well, no, you can't do that with normal stocks. There's something called the wash sale rule that prevents you from doing exactly just that.
Oh.
At a big picture level, prevents you from selling a losing position, then buying it back, essentially the loss gets disallowed. So you'd say, oh, you know, that didn't work out. that really didn't do anything. But something that's interesting with cryptocurrency, and something that a lot of the practitioners are talking about, is cryptocurrency is property for a lot of purposes. It's treated like stock. It's a capital. It's still a capital capital asset. So it goes. It gets netted against other stocks when you're figuring out your capital gain or loss. However, the wash sale rule does not specifically at this point apply to cryptocurrency. So hypothetically, you could sell a losing cryptocurrency position, and cryptocurrency has been declining for about a month and a half, 2 months now. Net that loss against some other gains in cryptocurrency or other stocks that you've had throughout the year, other capital dispositions, and you could hypothetically buy that cryptocurrency back a day or two later, puts you in the same economic position, and that loss is not disregarded. That loss is allowed. That's something that may not be available into the future.
Yeah,
that's something that I think Congress might absolutely take a look at. But you've got another 11 hours to determine. Hey, I've got this Dogecoin or I've got this Bitcoin position that isn't doing so well. I might cut it loose. Maybe I'll even buy it back tomorrow. You'll still be allowed that loss.
Well, right, and even like some cryptocurrencies, you can trade 24 hours a day. It's not like the traditional stock market. It's like if I sell something today on the stock market on my E-Trade account, I assume I'm not going to be able to pop it back in until Monday, and by then things could have changed. I guess there's after-hour trading, of course, that people can do. But yeah, that's interesting. That's really fascinating. I did not know that if you were to sell a stock today and buy it back tomorrow, that they are going to catch you on that and say, hey, no, you can't. That's not allowed. Okay. Good to know. That changes a few things on my to-do list.
No,
I'm just kidding. No, but I did the same thing. There were a couple stocks and I'm like, this has just lost me money. I don't really want to hang on to this anymore. Might as well just take the loss, bring down my taxable income just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about tax, you know, what you should be telling your tax preparer about, you know, stimulus payments or about, you know, advanced child tax credits you got. I know it's confusing, yeah. And a tax preparer is going to help you navigate that, right?
Yeah, let's talk, you know, let's talk about the advanced child tax payments then, and those people, parents have been getting these checks in the mail over the last 6 months, and try to again explain that is an advance on the child tax credit that the parents of the taxpayers would typically get when they file their 2021 tax return in 2022. So for those parents that have been getting those checks in the mail, they're great and they're absolutely helpful, but it's a reminder that a tax refund or that one might have been expecting in April next year may not be as large, or there might be even a balance owed as a result of counting on that to go for tax payments. So it's an advance of payments that one typically would get when they file their 2021 tax return. So those payments are not stimulus, and understand when a taxpayer or parent sees their return next year, the refund or the balance, there might be a balance due that wasn't expected as a result of that. So again, keep in mind those payments are not stimulus payments. Conversely, we did have the third stimulus payment, the economic impact payment number 3 in April of 2021. And those are things that are going to need to be reported to your tax preparer, because if you did or did not get a third stimulus payment, but you otherwise do qualify for it, there could be still a credit when you file your 2021 tax return. In addition, with respect to the child tax payments, you could have opted out of those payments. So
right.
If you did opt out, again, you need to let your preparer know, because those are calculations that are going to have to go onto the tax return. The IRS is going to be sending out notices, I think starting soon if they haven't done so already, with respect to whether or not a third stimulus payment was received, and with respect to whether how much in the way of advanced child tax payments were received by the taxpayers. Those documents need to be given to your tax preparers, because what we're seeing in our practice, not too often, but a little bit, and around the tax preparer community, a lot of adjustments were made this year by the IRS with respect to the economic impact payments 1 and 2, and the recovery rebate credit, it was called, to sort of reconcile those stimulus payments. So they're going to be doing a better job this year of getting out reports to taxpayers to give to their preparers. So hopefully there doesn't have to be as much in the way of adjustments to refunds or balances due when the IRS processes those returns.
Makes sense. Hey, we do have we got a break we got to take really quickly, but I want to get this question in now just because it is important. Tom and Niles texted our IRA, and he said MRD, but I think he meant RMDs, the required minimum distributions. Yes. Are those need to be completed today, right? Those don't wait till April, as far as I know.
Like the required, I actually don't want to misspeak on that.
Well, tell you what, why don't we take a commercial break, and then we can see if we can iron that out. I heard Terry Savage the other day saying RMDs, you want to finish those today. We'll double check on that. Didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Michael. We'll take a quick commercial break and come back with more on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Michael Raff joining us. We're chatting about all things taxes that you can do here on the last day of the year. He's the director of tax at Gordon Law Group. And I broke my cardinal sin, Michael, by throwing you a question right out of the blue about something. We were talking about required minimum distributions and how some, you know, we were talking earlier about IRA contributions you can make until April 1st or to the tax filing deadline, I should say. People had questions about RMDs. I don't know if you found anything concrete. I know we don't want to give anyone incorrect information.
No. The required minimum distributions are typically going to need to be taken by today, by December 31st. There's an exception to that if someone turns 72 in the second half of this year, if they were born after July 1, 1949, but before January 1 of 1950, then the RMD is actually due April 1st. But for the most part, for the vast majority of the public that are required to take required minimum distributions, that deadline is today.
Yeah, and if you did turn 72, in that time span, you can wait till April 1st. I'm reading, but a lot of folks say, and I imagine you would too. Hey, you're going to have two then in 1 year. The 2022 calendar year, and then that might move you to a tax bracket you weren't expecting. So that's something to talk to a professional about, I imagine, is your best bet. But yes, get those done today. I didn't realize quite how severe the penalties are if you don't take your required minimum distribution, but up to a 50% tax on some of that stuff. That's incredible.
Yeah, it could be draconian.
We have one other text message that we had. If you happen to know that wash rule that we were talking about, the selling and the buying, if you happen to know exactly how long how they look at the span, if you waited a whole month.
30 days.
30 days.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. It's a 30 day before or after a look period, essentially. So you have to wait. You're going to have to put yourself in a position to wait 30 days if you want to cut a stock loose and buy it back and not be subject to the wash sale rules. And they can look into the next year. Those are for stocks and most types of capital assets. The cryptocurrency is the one exception. There are certain legal arguments that the IRS potentially could be in a position to make to even argue that even though the wash sale rule doesn't directly apply, there are other economic principles at foot if they decide to make cases out of that. But most practitioners feel safe to say that the wash sale rules do not apply to cryptocurrency at this point. So if you have those loss positions and want to reduce gain, because otherwise 2021 was a pretty bull year in the cryptocurrency market, that's not a bad idea.
Sounds good. Hey, I want to talk just briefly here because a lot of people have maybe started their own business. They've done their own thing through the pandemic, and this maybe is their first year of filing taxes either as an S-Corp or as an LLC. I imagine they want to talk to a tax preparer because there's a lot of different things there, right?
Yeah, there's actually some big news out of flow-through taxation, and this is really important. And this is critical sort of solution by the end of the day. If you recall a few years ago, what's called the state and local tax limitations on taxes for itemized deductions kicked in, where you can only now take a $10,000 deduction as part of your itemized deductions for state taxes paid. Well, for business owners, this really limited the amount of itemized deductions that they might have for successful businesses. And businesses and states took notice of the federal limitations. And so one thing a lot of states, including Illinois, have now started to do is what's called pass-through entity taxation. And so this is really critical for partnerships and S corporations to listen to and potentially act by the end of the day if it's something that they're interested in. Normally, a partnership or S corporation what's called flows through income. It doesn't actually pay taxes at the entity level. It flows all the taxes or all the income through to the partners or the shareholders, and those partners and shareholders pay the income taxes at the individual level. Illinois and some other states have now said, okay, if you make an election at the entity level, partnership S-Corp level, you can pay income taxes at the partnership or S corporation level. Why would you want to do that? Well, by doing so, it will count as a deduction against your income, against the partnership or S corporation income, which essentially will lower the income that gets flowed through to the individual on the federal tax side. Okay, so so if we say instead of making $1,000, the business actually made $9,000 or $9,500 because it paid a tax to the state of Illinois. And so that's less money for the IRS to tax on. Well, great, you might say, but I just paid a lot of, the business just paid a lot of money out of pocket to pay these state taxes. So where's the real benefit? Well, the benefit comes from that Illinois and the other states that have elected this are allowing a credit to be taken at the individual level for the business taxes paid. So it is, it really, really winds up being a workaround to the state and local tax limitation that was imposed by Congress under the TCJA, and allow it's putting business owners in a really strong position now to reduce their federal taxable income and get a credit on the individual side, so they're not duplicating the taxes paid. But it's something that needs to be done, needs to be paid, especially certainly for cash basis taxpayers today. I think there's I don't have clarity on if an accrual basis taxpayer must make that same payment today, but the election is going to be made when you actually file your business tax return next year. But for a cash basis taxpayer, today's the day. If you haven't done so already, look into the business pass-through entity taxation and maybe make an estimate on those taxes at the state level as soon as possible. It's really a pretty good benefit.
All right. Michael Raff, Director of Tax at Gordon Law Group. You can go to GordonLawLTD.com. We appreciate your time, my friend, as always.
John, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Yeah, you too. All right, we're going to have the news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Then more, Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.